ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A broken promise or breaking with a broken policy. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese made such a point of sticking with the Coalition's Stage 3 tax cuts that any move to alter them is guaranteed to generate a political firestorm, and we've already had a bit of a taste of that this morning. The full details of the policy won't be announced until tomorrow, but we know the government will provide greater tax relief for people on lower incomes at the expense of those on higher incomes. There will be a shift. The extent of the shift is yet to be revealed. Already the opposition and business groups have come out strongly against the changes, but do they make economic sense, or will they be more fair than what was already proposed in legislation? To debate these issues, we're joined this morning by Innes Willox, the Chief Executive of the Australian Industry Group, and Dr. Richard Dennis, the Executive Director of this of the group that's been, the Australia Institute that's been arguing against keeping Stage 3. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Patricia.
All right. Richard, we're going to start with you. The Prime Minister gave his word that these tax cuts would remain as legislated, and I suspect that the Liberal Party is already designing their advertisement campaigns of all of those grabs of him saying this. He said, "My word is my bond." Isn't that game over politically speaking? Why do you think this is an important moment?
Oh, well, let's start with the big picture. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, and this is absolutely the right thing to do, not just for the economy, but for the individuals who are suffering the most. Is it going to be politically deadly for the Prime Minister to give the vast majority of Australians far bigger tax cuts than previously? I don't think so. Has he broken a promise? Yes. But it was an inappropriate promise. It was a policy designed by Scott Morrison 7 years ago, before COVID, before a cost of living crisis, before real wages fell for consecutive years. So, yes, it's a broken promise, but it's still a very good idea. And, well, we'll have to wait and see the details. I think if the Prime Minister is going to take money off people earning over $200,000 and give significantly bigger tax cuts to people earning normal incomes, I think this is going to be a political winner for him.
Okay, that's interesting. Innes, obviously there an acknowledgement from Richard Dennis that it's a broken promise, so let's not debate whether it is, because the Prime Minister has said many times he doesn't want to change these tax cuts. He now plans to. Why are you opposed to the change?
Well, Patricia, there's real concern here that this is going to be the death knell for tax reform in Australia. We're amongst the highest, most reliant countries in the world on income tax to fund government coffers. I think we run only second to Denmark of developed countries in our reliance on income tax reform. This was a well thought through process, which has gone through two election cycles supported by both parties, and the signals had been that this would be put through. The room was always left open for the government to take other measures to support parts of the economy, parts of the community that they felt were most at need. But the concern here, Patricia, is walking away from this promise means that that tax reform, which we need, is basically a dead duck. We'll look at a couple of issues. What was proposed here was a flattening out, a simplification of the taxation system, so that people earning between $45,000 and $200,000 were paying the same tax rate, 30%. Well, that from reports is now not going to happen. We're still going to have a four-tier tax system, which continues to create issues around what's known as bracket creep, people moving into new tax scales, disincentivising them to work harder and to want to earn more, and obviously having significant impacts on our productivity, which has been flatlining almost in the morgue for the past 4 years, so for 4 or 5 years. So we have to think about that. The other point I'd make is that it was a move to take the top tier of the tax rates from 180 to 200. The 180 has been in place since 2009. That's 15 years ago. And the people earning $180,000 now are way different to those who were earning it in 2009. Think tradies, construction workers, those in the mining sector, those in the healthcare sector. A lot of people, 700,000 people extra an hour into that, over that threshold. So, but what does it mean? It means that governments can't seem to be able to hold the course when it comes to basic tax reform in this country.
Well,
that's going to have consequences for the future.
There's no doubt that it's a broken promise, but on this idea of whether it's the death of tax reform, I think perhaps, Richard, it shows that there is a huge difference in perspectives on what is good tax reform or not. But Richard, bracket creep is a genuine and real ongoing issue for all Australians. Wouldn't eliminating the 37% rate actually help to address that? Isn't that going to be an issue for lots of taxpayers?
No. I mean, the idea that tax reform is dead because we're not going to give an enormous tax cut to the highest income Australians is just ridiculous. Let's put this into context. The highest income Australians, the people in the top tax bracket, weren't going to see a reduction in their tax rate. We were just going to give them $9,000 a year, $9,000 a year, but their tax rate wasn't going to be any lower. So from a productivity point of view, from a participation point of view, from an economic reform point of view, this was one of the most poorly designed tax cuts in the history of economic policy. It was literally just a gift. If, and it's a giant if, but if Innes serious about tax reform, I'll sit down with him tomorrow and we can cook up solutions to how it is that women working part-time in Australia are facing very high marginal tax rates because of the interaction between the tax system, the welfare system and the childcare system. That's where we need to reform the system. That's where we'll get productivity boosts.
Do you acknowledge, though, that bracket creep is an issue and that this will make it more profound?
Bracket creep is an issue, but this was using a sledgehammer to crack a walnut. If we wanted to increase, if we wanted to protect ourselves from bracket creep, and that, again, that's a big if, but if we wanted to do that, we could just increase the existing tax scales by the same proportion in line with inflation. There, I fixed it. It would cost about a third of the stage three tax cuts. Most of the money, most of the hundreds of billions of dollars in stage three tax cuts are going to high-income earners, mainly men, who weren't going to see a reduction in their marginal tax rate at all.
Okay.
And seriously, if we want to talk about tax reform, Innes should be excited about talking about moving our whole tax base away from income and onto things that virtually every economist in the world supports, like resource rent taxes and carbon tax. Let's do the hard work on tax reform.
Okay, so let me just ask you one more question before I go back to Innes, which is this. Innes's point then, you kind of perhaps partly agree with, are we relying too much on income tax in this country?
No, that's a statistical trick. Australia's one of the lowest tax countries in the OECD. The reason that it looks like we rely heavily on income tax is because we don't collect as much tax on wealth. We don't collect as much tax on pollution. We don't collect as much tax on...
So shouldn't we be changing the distribution between those?
Well, no, we should. Well, if we introduced a carbon tax today, the percentage, our reliance on income tax would fall. If we introduced a wealth tax today, as most countries have in the developed world, our reliance on income tax would fall. So to be clear, it's a statistical trick to say that Australia relies too heavily on income tax. We're a low tax country that, because we're missing out on all the good efficient taxes, like wealth taxes and pollution taxes, it makes it look like our income tax sticks out.
Let me go back to you, Innes. I know you will contest that it's a statistical trick, am I right?
Well, I thank Richard for basically making my point for me. Your next question, PK.
Okay, let's go to my next question, which is where I would like to end our conversation on inflation. We don't know all the details, as we've said. We are reporting what we know so far. But are you worried, Innes, that this may fuel inflation?
Well, the concern overall here is that, as we have said, this has been baked into the system, into the forward projections, into the thinking of Treasury and governments for the past 6 years. We're concerned here that measures like this will impede our economic recovery and will put in danger the soft landing that we're trying to get to with the way that this has been skewed. The point here is that if it goes through as is reported, it is a fundamental change in what has been proposed, and people will have to rethink, you know, their economic situation in all sorts of different ways. Will this be inflationary? The odds are, put it this way, PK, that it's not going to help inflation and the fight against inflation, and that's a concern for us, and it will prolong the overall pain that we're facing at the moment.
What's your assessment, Richard, on the inflation question?
We'll have a minor impact on inflation, that's true, but there's no way to help Australians struggling with a cost of living crisis that isn't going to put some
except
pressure
by putting
on
inflation up. Except by putting inflation up.
Look, exactly. In as I understand that you need your $9,000 tax cut in a hurry, but there's people out there that can't afford
personal,
their
election. Richard.
They can't. Richard, well, you interrupted me, mate. You interrupted me.
Let's keep it friendly.
Make it simple. Well, I'm being very friendly. There are people out there who can't afford their electricity bill today. There are people out there who can't afford their grocery bill today. And if INEC says we should wait until the cost of living crisis is over before we help them, then he and everyone agreeing with him needs to understand and accept the consequences of what they're saying.
Okay.
They're saying to those people, take one on the chin for Australia. Thank you for your poverty. It's helping us manage inflation.
All right. I want to revisit all of these conversations, and a few people text in saying that they're happy to hear both of these different perspectives at the one time, and I'm glad for it too. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Dr. Richard Dennis is the Executive Director of the Australia Institute. Innes Willocks, the Chief Executive of the Australian Industry Group.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC.